All right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a caller on the line. Boomer, yeah, let's do that. Line one, Thomas from Athens. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Logic for me, when Mr. Rogers just talked about needing to, we need to take the Senate for the advice and consent of these federal judges. But Biden is going to continue bringing these terrible nominations. We don't control the Senate, then his judges get lifetime appointments. So how do you get the Senate? Well, you get big turnout. How do you defeat election machinations? Well, you get a big turnout. How do you get a big turnout? For the truth to come out for the candidates in those swing states. And how does that happen? Well, I figured out that I have to send money to 6 swing state elections for people I don't know. I don't have a dog in that fight except for my country. So I send a little bit of money to each one.
Thomas, I think you're spot on, man. I mean, a lot of folks get kind of bogged down in you know, like even a school board election. Well, I don't have kids in that school. What's your community? In your case, you're talking about it in a broader sense. You may not be the one who votes for a person in Georgia or Arizona, but you know what it means for the country as a whole, and I appreciate your statesman view. You're right.
Amen.
All right. Thomas, thanks for the call, buddy. Good stuff.
God bless you, everybody.
All right. Got some folks on the text line. Paul from Athens. With regards to John Rogers, says, thanks, John. Love your analysis. Appreciate that, Paul. Appreciate you saying so. We've got, by the way, we got some new texters today. Lynn from Knoxville has been texting in. Of course, Jeff from Indiana is on the line. Got something new here. Yep. Okay. Anyway, Wesley from Rockford has been texting in, asking about Right Side T-shirts. We gave away a bunch of those yesterday. All right. Listen, let me move on. Election machinations. I'll kick it off now. We'll pick it up again after the break at the bottom of the hour. But I got a piece written here by a guy named K. Carl Smith. If you don't know K. Carl Smith, he's just a solid dude. But K. Carl Smith is also a black conservative. A lot of folks are like, what? Yes, he is. And he just writes so this stuff he writes for 1819 News is like so spot on. Well, 1819 News, he's got a piece out today called "Why We Need to Vote." And he goes down the line and makes sure that everybody remembers that it was a Democrat, it were Confederate Democrats who initiated the Civil War to maintain slavery. It was it was a Democrat stage actor who shot President Lincoln a few days after hearing that he was in favor of black men being allowed to vote. And then he goes on to talk about the various amendments that were provided. But he points out that in May 1865 that Frederick Douglass said, slavery is not abolished until the black man has the ballot. Well, a few years later, the 14th Amendment, which he points out should not have been necessary, but it was, established that black former slaves and their descendants were now equal citizens entitled to equal protection. But then the 15th Amendment, which he also points out should not have been necessary, but it was ratified to establish that conclusively that black former slaves had an equal right to vote in state and national elections. But then he goes on to talk about the fact that he believes, in his opinion, that the Democrat welfare state has trapped the black community in too many ways. And he says, communist Democrats, in his opinion, stole our 2020 election from the American people by using the pandemic with all of its damages, by using unconstitutional forced mandates. He says, by voting machines that became questionable, by changing things like the cheat by mail. And anyway, the bottom line is, he is of the opinion that despite all of that, that the fact that the groundwork was laid through so much blood and treasure years past to make sure that the amendment to the Constitution said that all men and women are allowed to vote, that we got to vote. He said, you can't look at all that's happened. And he said, we got to get rid of things like corrupt voting machines and cheating by mail. And we might not get it all done by the next election. But if Republicans don't turn out and vote, then they're going to have to lump it. Because I'll be honest with you, the old saying goes, you're guaranteed to miss every target you don't shoot at. Well, you're guaranteed to have your vote not count if you don't vote. I have known so many people who lost by the slimmest of margins. In the past couple of years, we've seen a lot of that. As an attorney, I helped a woman who lost her city council election by one vote. One vote. So we went to court. We found 9 more ballots that should have been counted But they weren't. We proved it. Unfortunately, when we opened them, because we didn't know for a fact, it was a 5-4. She still lost by one vote. I told the judge we won the case and lost the race. But nonetheless, one vote. So, folks, I think K. Carl Smith got it. So much groundwork has been laid. If you're worried about election integrity, worry about it, but still go vote. Because if you don't, you're stuck with whatever happens. Okay, folks, we'll keep on. Election machinations. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, let me ask you, is election integrity still a big issue for you? I'd love to hear from you. You want to call in, we'll take calls on it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Is election integrity a big deal? You're welcome to call or text 833-68-RIGHT. Before we do that, let me just jump on something here. It's 3:34 p.m. It is getting close to the end of the day. Let me just say, if you're looking for a job, you might want to consider my friends at ZLA Solutions. I'm not kidding. These are friends of mine. I see them regularly. I talked to them again just the other day. ZLA Solutions is like epic good at getting jobs and people connected. No kidding. I mean, they are doing it like nobody else right now, in my opinion. So literally, if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over North Alabama right now. Good jobs with big-name manufacturers and other employer groups. So there's that. But listen, if you're an employer and you want to fill out the ranks of your workforce, and it might be onesies and twosies, or it specialized, or it might be a whole shift, they can do it. The ZLA Solutions can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. They will take care of business. So, yeah, check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, and I really do. They've been with us since the very beginning of the show, and I appreciate their work. Okay, listen, election integrity. Let me just say this. First of all, do know that there have been things happening in the judicial system that impacts elections and election integrity. The Epoch Times, dated October 12th, that'd be yesterday. Supreme Court backs Republicans in Pennsylvania mail-in ballots case. Pennsylvania was one of the hotbeds of controversy in the 2020 election. Well, the Supreme Court this week vacated a lower court decision in the Third Circuit, which includes Pennsylvania, that required that the lower court had required Pennsylvania to count mail-in ballots even when there was no date on the envelope. Why is that a big deal? The date? Well, first of all, this date's got to be on there because state law says so. Secondly, you're also verifying that it was mailed in on time. If the date comes after Election Day, then you have to question. But it's also a matter of making sure that if state law is written a certain way, that it's followed that way. And they were trying to count massive numbers of mail-in ballots that didn't have dates counted. I want to say a guy named Ritter, who was David Ritter, who was the actual candidate who lost his race. He lost his bid to serve in the Court of Common Pleas, which is in like a county circuit court. Like 257 mail-in ballots didn't have the votes their dates on them, and so they weren't counted. So the court had ordered they should be counted. And the Supreme Court came back and said, no, that's not going to happen. Well, it would have threatened the integrity of the midterm elections coming up. But the Supreme Court's action, according to the Epoch Times here on Tuesday, means that Third Circuit rulings cannot be used as precedent in those three states. In other words, it's not going to be something that's nationwide. It's confined to that circuit, the Third Circuit, which is, what states are those? Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. But if you got flaws on the ballot, it may not count. that shouldn't have to be like I shouldn't have to be a big deal, but it is. Have I got a caller on the line? Yeah, let me grab line five. Ben from Upper Alabama. Is that what I'm seeing? Ben, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, how about it, man? Actually from the free state of Winston.
Oh, there you go. How about that?
Yeah, honestly, man, I'm a little bit worried about our election, a lot worried about our election integrity. I feel like if they cheat, they could film it themselves, cheating on the ballots and everything, and show it in the FBI, and they wouldn't do anything. You know, not to say I believe we should go out in droves, everybody vote that can vote, but I mean the FBI not going to do anything. They're in a Democrat's pocket. I mean, even down the local police didn't do anything in these places where they have them on video that they were committing fraud. Didn't do anything. Yeah. And I don't know, man. I don't have a lot of confidence in this upcoming election. I know a lot of people is hopeful, but they could cheat right in front of their face and dare us do something about it. And that's the kind of attitude I get from it.
Yeah, and I get that. I tell you where I feel a little better about it. Even though Alabama has been ranked now as one of the most has some of the best election laws in the nation, but the reality is some places don't. But where I sort of take heart is that after 2020, it called a lot of people's attention to it, and I think you're going to have a whole lot of people eyeballing the election process, and they're going to be less likely to get away with it. They had the excuse of the pandemic, too. You remember a lot of what they did, though, Ben, was they used the pandemic as their excuse for everything, and they got away with murder during that. Well, that's off the table
now.
Yeah,
they did.
All right, well.
Man, I hope you're right.
Well, I hope I am, too. but the reality is, I think you even said it, too, but we still got to go vote. You can't not vote. You got to do it. Because if you don't vote, then you're out of luck no matter what.
That's right.
All right, brother.
God bless.
Appreciate you. See you. But you know, I guess to go to Ben's point, I've got a piece here from the Epoch Times. That's two in a row. Dated October 11th, says states have tightened their election integrity laws, but conservative groups say more remains to be done. So, first of all, take note of this. The Heritage Foundation did a complete study on election integrity laws, and the maximum any state could get would have been 100 points. The score that was highest in the nation was Tennessee at 84, followed closely by Georgia, 83, Alabama, 82. So the southeastern states are ranking among the best, but that's still in the 80s. And you look at it and go, So even the best states didn't score 100. I'm going to break this down for you in just a minute because it's a really interesting article, and it's got a ton of facts in it, but it's also got some things that could still be worked on, especially in other places. Tell you what, let me grab that line real quick. Phone lines are open, by the way, 833-68-RIGHT. What do you think about election integrity? Line one, Scott from Huntsville. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
So I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people mad.
All right.
But it's the truth.
All right.
If you we need to get out and vote. Even though there's a lot of, not a lot of integrity in the past election. But if we get out and vote, in numbers, we can overcome this. I tell people, and this is what I say, if you don't vote, you are part of the problem, and you have no right to complain. If it makes them mad, so what? It's the truth.
Oh, brother, you're spot on. I've had that same conversation. I had a friend of mine I used to work with, and she actually said to me one day, her silent form of protest was not to vote. And I looked at her and I said, well, then you got no right to complain because you're stuck with whatever happens.
Yep, and you know, a no vote is a vote for the other. That's exactly what it is.
It's exactly right. I mean, and so yeah, tell everybody you know, man. It doesn't matter that we're in a guaranteed red state. It doesn't matter that we're in the state that has some of the highest election integrity laws. Get out and vote anyway, resoundingly. Take your friends to the polls with you.
Yep. Well, thank you for your service and thank you for serving our state.
Hey, Scott, appreciate that. Thank you so much. All right, wow. If you want to call in, 833-68-RIGHT, how do you feel about election integrity? What are you thinking? Is there anybody out there who says, I'm not going to vote because I don't trust it? I would love to hear that. I will try to talk you out of that position, but be aware. But yeah, back to the story with the Epoch Times. So Hans von Spakovsky, I feel like I've met him. I think he works at the Heritage Foundation. He's a senior legal fellow there. He's also the manager of its election law reform initiative. Well, they did this thing where they looked at 12 different areas, and they gave, you know, weights to three of the areas as being the most important. And the three most important things they felt like could be done to tighten up election integrity were things like voter ID, making sure you had accurate voter rolls, and absentee ballot management. Those three things alone could do a lot towards election integrity. Boomer, your little guy's waving through the window a minute ago. That's awesome. All right. But anyway, states could score a maximum of 100 points, but none of them scored 100. None of them. So Tennessee, like I said a moment ago, has the best, 84. Georgia, 83. Alabama, 82. Missouri at 80. The last one on the list, which is actually 51st, because you got to consider the District of Columbia votes too. 51st on the list, Hawaii had a score of 26. 26. Nevada, 28. California at 30. And Oregon at 38. California at 30 worries me. I mean, that's the biggest electoral state in the nation. And they've got some of the lowest quality election laws. Anyway, Von Spakovsky from Heritage said, yes, Tennessee's number one, but it only got 84 out of 100. Even the best state in the country needs to make improvements. And I agree. Don't stop. Keep finding ways to tighten things up. Figure out how best to make things clear on the voter rolls. And by the way, the very idea that somehow or another a voter... Alabama, I when I was in the Senate, I helped vote for and pass the voter ID laws that we have in Alabama. And then Secretary of State John Merrill, he went out there and just basically he brought mobile card-making or ID-making labs to the entire state of Alabama. The idea that someone can't get a... It's such an insult. Somebody said that earlier on the show. It's such an insult to say... It was Sparky, I believe, said that the idea that someone who is in a minority can't get a voter ID, that's ridiculous. What an insult. If they can get a driver's license, if they know how to get their car tags, if they can buy a movie ticket, for the love. So anyway, these are things that are so easy to do. And you got to wonder, why would they not want voter ID? Why do you not want to know? All right, one more call for the break. Line three, Chuck from Huntsville. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Good. I was surprised to see Georgia on the list because having been in, you know, in Georgia right before the last election, I saw like 48 Trump signs and maybe two Biden signs, you know, driving through the state. And, you know, they've got the Dominion voting machines. They got this and that. So even though their election integrity on paper may be great, I can guarantee you that's one of the most reddest states, and they always seem to just barely go blue, you know. And my brother who lives in Georgia also said, oh, no, that Secretary of State, you know, all that election stuff was on him. He's a dead man walking in the primary and all this kind of stuff. Well, he just squeaked out a victory in the Republican primary. So
yeah.
I don't know that Georgia is going to be in any better shape than they were the last election.
Yeah, I think the difference. Chuck, I think the difference though, and what Heritage Foundation study is talking about is the fact that since then they passed additional laws. Remember that whole thing about how, because President Biden was already in office, and he claimed that it was Jim Crow reborn, and that the voter ID laws, right. they took the Major League Baseball took the All-Star game out of Atlanta, and it's this whole debacle. So I think what they're saying is they've tightened things up now, so I'm hoping it's going to be better than what it was.
Right, and I think that whole 2000 Mules movie wasn't most of it using Georgia as the example, right?
I think there was a lot of Georgia in that movie. I saw that. That was.
So, like I said, when you talk election integrity, this was the most secure election, et cetera. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
All right,
I'm very concerned about this. I don't think we'd be in the situation we're in now if we had any sort of election integrity in the swing states that surprisingly went blue last time.
I agree. Chuck, thanks for the call, man. Got to go to a break.
All right.
All right. Bremer, take us to the break, brother. We'll keep on. This one's hitting a nerve. You want to call in? 833-68-RIGHT. How do you feel about elections? How do you feel about election integrity? Is it an issue? I got news. It's an issue in some states, especially. I'm looking at one article from The Hill. Election integrity concerns a priority on Arizona's midterm ballot. Yep. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. All right, so I got two callers on the line. Looks like one of them is back on the old topic about racism, but I'll go ahead and jump back and do that real quick. Will from North Alabama, line one, how you doing? Did we lose him? He's gone. Well, he tried to call in twice. All right, Will, if you're listening, I was taking the call, so if you can call back in, you're welcome to it, but it might be after the top of the hour. Is he back on the line? Hang on a second. We may have Will. There you are, Will. Hold on one. Okay, all right. Let's pull him in there real quick. Line one, Will from North Alabama. How you doing?
How are you doing, Mr. Williams?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
First, I'd like to tell you I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
But, Mr. Williams, I'd like to intelligently and unemotionally tell you why I think this is a systemic country. This is a systemically racist country.
Okay.
This country was founded with a constitution in 1776, around that period of time. And within that constitution, sir, they wrote the right to own, trade, sell, murder, and rape my ancestors, sir. And I realized that a war came along within 100 years later in 1865, in the Civil War, where somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 black people fought trying to gain their own freedom. And the 14th and 15th Amendment was passed. But, sir, the constitutions, the 1901 Constitution of Alabama, there's a constitution like that in Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, and many of those other Confederate states. And what those constitutions did, sir, was codified racism in not slavery, didn't codify slavery, but certainly codified racism and the lack of freedom into the traditions.
Okay, let me jump in before we run out of time, because, I mean, I don't want to not be able to respond to you while you're still on the line, all right? So,
sure.
First of all, I appreciate your level-headed ability to address the topic. I don't agree, obviously, and I'll tell you why. Because, number one, the Constitution that was written in 1776 did not say some of the things you just said that it said, but even if it did, it was amended, like you pointed out, with the 14th and 15th Amendments, which means that should that have been something that existed at the time, whether it be under statutory law or common law, that it was deemed constitutionally no longer allowed. Now, then we had to go forward and start changing culture. And changing culture has been happening over time. And I'll tell you, too, the Constitution of the state of Alabama in 1901, literally when I sat in the state Senate, we had a bill to remove some archaic language that had racist overtones from the bill. The teachers union fought that at the ballots so that it wouldn't get changed because they thought it might impact their ability to get education funding. But the reality is any language left over is still not enforceable by law. So if you've got a systemic situation, you've got to be able to say that the entire systems are built. Whether or not something remains in a document from 1901 or 1776 does not mean that we are a systemically racist country. You have to have systemic action to back up those things. And we don't.
Okay.
We have a few bad actors, and we have the occasional document from the past that we probably need to change. That does not imply by any stretch that someone's skin color denies them the opportunities this country was founded upon.
May I respond to that?
We got about a minute and a half.
Okay, well, I'll make sure I get this done quickly. Sir, we have the state of Alabama incarcerates black people at a unbelievably high impact, and most of that's due because we have laws on the books that have that penalize crack, which is a derivative of cocaine. It's not cocaine.
Okay.
It's a derivative. It's a derivative of cocaine. Well, the derivative has caused black people the color of their skin. That has impacted the prison population, not only in Alabama, but all over the Southeast.
Okay.
And so it's not by chance.
You're not.
It wasn't by chance.
But Will, you are no. You cannot make the argument that because someone broke the law using an illegal substance that was legislatively declared illegal, that somehow or another the system is now stacked against black people because they did crack. That you can't go down that road and still make common sense.
Well, no, sir. You missed the argument, sir. The argument is the law was written in such a way to impact one community more so than the other.
It was written in such a way as to impact lawbreakers, Will. That's what it was designed to impact. And if the majority of the people who smoke crack are black, I can't help that. It's still the law. We're up against a break, Will. Thanks for the call, brother. We can do it again another day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. The local, the state, the national, man, we cover down on all the issues. Solid conservative and, like the dude just said, just plain right. Well, I got some callers who held on during the break. I know one's been holding on for a long time because I talked to Will from North Alabama about racism a moment ago. But it's Jeff. Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Stuck in traffic in Nashville. How about yourself?
You know, I can always sort of tell by the way you come on the air whether you're stuck in traffic or not. It's the way you kind of slide into the conversation, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just past the billboard that says Smashville, and I'm thinking, yep, that's just about right.
Oh, boy. What you thinking, man? What's on your mind?
You know, Phil, the last presidential election... It was an illegal election. Mike Pence, my former governor, I love him to death, and he's probably about the most honest politician, I think, of anybody out there. But he should have denied the ballots from the state, the electors from the states that didn't do the elections right. Because you can't change the laws and illegal elections.
And that's
what happened in a number of states.
Can you hear me? I did. Yeah, you broke up there for a second, but I think I caught it. But I hear what you're saying, and it, I'll be honest with you. The whole part of the 2000 election that I am the least clear on is whether or not Mike Pence had any constitutional opportunity to do that very thing. I have not studied the law on that, Jeff, so I don't have a true opinion. What I do have a true opinion of is that those states were screwed up. Pennsylvania being one, the Constitution says the state legislatures shall make the election laws, and we had secretaries of state and governors and sometimes even mayors changing the way elections were being done.
Exactly. And I wonder, we're not just talking presidential election. I mean, how many mayors and senators and everything, because it was all in one thing. Everything was illegal about the election because, and they go back to the thing there and say, the judges throw all this stuff out and everything because they haven't confirmed that didn't see nothing wrong with these ballots and everything. Well, once these mail-in ballots were separated from the mail-in information, they had no way to put in the horse back in the barn after they got out. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. And let me ask you, up in Indiana where you vote, do y'all do voter ID? Do you have to show your ID when you vote?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You vote voter ID. Of course you do. And which because, that, you know, you got to know who's who. And these people that don't want voter ID, they just want illegal elections. They want people who's not supposed to vote to vote. I mean, it's plain and simple. What other reason would you have not to do that?
Yeah, I've got a series of articles that I'm going to get into here in a minute after these calls. And they're all about election deniers running for Secretary of State. And I'm thinking, who do you want to be the chief election officer? The one who thinks, no big deal, nothing to see here, or the one who says, I'm going to watch this like a hawk? That's the one I want in office.
Exactly. I mean, it's like I say, the states that screwed things up, the electors should have been sent back to those states, and they should have had to do a revote because the votes weren't legal. And it's just that plain and simple because you can't say, well, there wasn't enough votes there to change an election. Well, how would you know?
I get it. Hey, listen, man, I got somebody else on the line I got to get to. But just so you know, by the way, Tyler from Huntsville just texted in and said to tell you he's about 30 minutes behind you on the interstate. So you got other right side ruffians out there if you need them.
Hey, if anybody goes to Gatlinburg next week and see some dude running around with a right side T-shirt on, that'll be me.
There you go. All right. Well, have a good one then. All right, Jeff. Take
Come
care,
up
brother.
And say hi.
All right. Line one. Let's jump over there real quick because I know he's been holding. Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike. Phil Williams. How you doing?
Hey, Phil. You've hit so many topics. It's amazing. First of all, the Constitution was written in 1787.
I know. I didn't want to dig him for it. I didn't want to tear into him for that. So I went ahead and let that one ride.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you kind of repeated it, so I thought, well, let's get that straight now. So he was wrong about that. He's also wrong about the crack versus powder issue, except in the federal system. It wasn't Alabama that made the distinction, which he was trying to plug us with. That was Joe Biden's bill.
Wow.
And it was targeting black people. And it did target that. And it was Joe Biden who did it. Remember that speech about the jungles and that? It wasn't the same bill as that. It was a powder versus crack, and that was reversed as discriminatory by the federal courts.
So it was reversed, but it's not in place right now, is what you're saying.
No, it's still kind of on the books, but it was Fang Fang. I think it was the case and Fang versus Blank and those two cases that dealt with that very issue. And it says it was discriminatory on its face because it was 101 ratio. But that was Joe Biden. He was the sponsor of the bill. And lobbying for it.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
He thinks it's Alabama. It was his buddy, Joe Biden.
that is interesting. I'll tell you what, Mike, when we get done here, when you get a minute, if you would text in on this same line, text me the name of the case if you can find it. I would like to check into that,
sure,
too, and be able to describe it in more detail myself.
Oh, yeah. It was like there was I actually represented the Drug Policy Foundation and originally raised that issue in the 11th Circuit. Of course, they kind of ignored it, but ultimately it was reversed, I think, in several other circuits. So there was a split in the circuits. But, yeah, they finally quit making that distinction because they found that it was relatively discriminatory because what it did is the difference between the powder and crack issue was the sodium bicarbonate. So if they found sodium bicarbonate within that, then it became crack, and that was the rock. And that's how they actually did it. But it was Joe Biden. It wasn't Alabama.
That is crazy.
That's hilarious.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call, man. Text me in on that stuff, all right? Oh, wow.
Okay, sure, no problem.
All right, good deal. All right, let me jump over. I got so many text messages coming in. I got folks getting Jeremy from Huntsville's all ticked off at the January 6th committee. Yeah, but Jeremy, listen, I think that Trump's going to give them this the big backhand on this. They want to request a subpoena. They knew they were going to request a subpoena the moment they convened that thing. It was a given. But it's a kangaroo court. They don't have the true power of the law, and they're trying their best. I mean, who ever heard of doing this with a former president? Nonetheless, he has his own Fifth Amendment right to not incriminate himself. So what's going to wind up happening is he's going to wind up getting a subpoena, and he's going to hold a press conference, and his base is going to love him more. Their base is going to hate him more. It means nothing in the end. We'll still see whether he runs for president, but there's that. I get it, Jeremy. Just hang in there, brother. It's just it was to be expected. What else we got here?
Rita has a good one.
Rita has a good one. Yeah. Where's Rita?
You'll like
Scroll
it.
Scroll down. Yeah. Wait, hang on a second. So she said, so Rita from Scottsboro texted in and says, with regards to my conversation with Will about racism a while ago, says, nice reply to Will, Phil. Does Charlene, my wife, win any of you all's arguments with you being a lawyer and all? Well, when you consider the fact that I have learned how to say yes, dear, then Rita, I can just assure you, it doesn't matter whether I've debated in the well of the Senate or prevailed on appellate actions or in trial before the courts, or for that matter, whether I could stand in front of a formation of infantry soldiers and tell them how it is. When I go home, she's still Charlene, and I have to take all that into account. All right, I tell you what, Boomer, let's do this. I'm going to come right back on election integrity, but let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll take the break about a minute ahead of schedule. We'll come back and keep it moving. You want to text in? I'm enjoying this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I jump back in, by the way, let me just tell you, you hear me talking about my friends at Riley and Jackson Law Firm? Legit. I mean, I know these folks. As an attorney, I have collaborated with them on cases. I have also worked with them on issues. And I'm going to tell you, they're solid. And by the way, they're not just right on law. They're right on politics, too, if you know what I mean. But let me tell you, when all this stuff happened with regards to these commercials coming out about Camp Lejeune water contamination, I called them and I said, what is the deal? I mean, is this real? Because I heard they had lawyers working on it. They got like 5 staff lawyers working this issue alone. So here's the thing. From 1953 to 1987, I have now been led to understand, if you were there between 53 and 87, you could have been a dependent, a service member, you're there as a trainee, whatever the case may be, short-term TDY or long-term duty station. 1953 to 1987, there was contaminated water there, which has been attributed to upwards of 19 different illnesses. They are working this issue right now. You can call them and just tell them, and they'll tell you on the phone whether they believe you may or may not have a claim. Their number, Riley and Jackson, is the name of the firm, 205-879-5000. But they do so much more than that. They've had a multi-decade career at helping people be made whole, we call it in the lawyer language, be made whole for the negligence of other people. And I would encourage you, take a look at them, Riley and Jackson, for your legal needs. Area code 205-879-5000. That's 879-5000. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And here's where I got to do the thing. No representation made the quality of legal service before was greater than the quality of legal service before other lawyers. Bam. How'd I do?
Yeah, that was good. Under 3, 2.8.
Okay. Under 3 seconds. All right, every time. Hey, I got a caller on the line real quick. I'll do that. Randall from Newmarket. Hey, Randall, Phil Williams, how you doing?
I quit laughing here. I'll straighten up here. they call about the voting rights issue about showing IDs. And stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. You got to talk to Jeff a lot on his truck driver. I used to be a truck driver. Tell them try to redo their license if you got CDL with hazmat. Every year, every 2 years, try to renew them, see what you get into.
Oh, that's a whole new day, huh?
It's a hassle.
Well,
you got to be fingerprinted, got to carry your birth certificate and Social Security card, the original Social Security card with you. And I think you got to have your grandmother and your great-grandfather there, too.
and then show them your birthmarks, right?
Yeah, and how many toes I got on my left side.
Well.
But, yeah, the people are talking about that. It was 21 before I could go and get a beer, but, you know, that, you know, make everything. Some people just don't understand. You got to get proof of who you are when you buy stuff.
And it's too easy. I mean, if you're gonna show an ID to get a hotel room or buy a beer or get an airplane ticket, surely to goodness you can show them a picture ID to be able to vote. Did we lose?
Yeah, oh, like I said, that CDL renewing a CDL license with hazmat, they is a booger cat. And that's pretty nice. I retired out.
Okay. Well, that's my new word for the day, booger cat. All right, Randall, appreciate the call, man. You have a good one. Wow. Okay. By the way, Bill from Huntsville just texted in and said, hey, Phil, Charlene knows the truth that me and other married men have had to learn the hard way. He may rule the roost, but she rules the rooster. Yes. Bill, see, you're not helping my situation, brother. Anyway. And then Jeff from Decatur just texted in about that same thing and says, Phil's too nice. You don't win wars with flowers and kisses. Okay. Okay. All right. Listen, I'm still in this thing on election integrity. I'm going to cover it for a few more minutes. Multiple articles that I've got here. It's so amazing. I mean, the very idea that someone should ever question, like we're not allowed to question. Don't you question? You're an election denier. How silly of you. How racist of you. How awful that you would. Don't you know? Joe Biden won fair and square. More people voted for Joe Biden than voted for any president ever in the history of the United States. Okay, sure. He came out of that basement with a mandate. Don't you know? Well, the article that I'm finishing up with from the Epoch Times says election integrity means different things to different people. Those on the right often fear voter fraud and election rigging, while those on the left talk constantly about voter suppression. Either way, it's bad. What they're saying here in this article, though, is it's still an issue that resonates with people. It's still an issue we care about. This has not faded away. And by the way, we are allowed to question. So they can just lump it. But then I look at the way they constantly insult anyone who dares to question. You saw it. I mean, every time you go against the narrative, dare to swim upstream in the liberal narrative, like vaccine mandates or whatever else. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. How's that working out? And then you've got the whole situation now with going into the midterms, and there's too many election deniers running for office. Well, it remains an issue. TheHill.com, dated yesterday, October 12th. Democrats and Republicans are campaigning on a similar message this November, saying that democracy is on the ballot. Polls show that elections are a top concern among voters. Democrats have long pushed for expanding voting access through measures like vote-by-mail and automatic registration, while Republicans often oppose those efforts. And then they go ahead and say, and former President Donald Trump's continuing false claims of a stolen election make election integrity a top campaign issue. Let me just go ahead and square up on this real quick. It is not the fact that Donald Trump is claiming it. It's the fact that it happened. Trump cannot fabricate what we saw. He's pointing it out. He just happens to have the biggest microphone. He just has the ability to say it and make headlines, whereas the rest of us, we may not be the headline-grabbing people, but we see the same thing he saw. We know for a fact that drive-by balloting was a joke. We know for a fact that absentee ballots were being just mailed out wantonly and then scooped up by people who are harvesting them and bringing them back in stacks of 100. We know for a fact that numbers looked different when people came back in the morning after when they had gone to home from counting the night before. We also know for a fact that whereas Alabama can give you election results on the same night, some states need a month to count their ballot, and that's ridiculous. So don't try and tell us that he's the only one who saw something. We all saw it. He just happens to be the one they don't like who has the biggest microphone. That's the deal. Almost all of 2022 midterm candidates, according to The Hill, whom Trump has endorsed, say that election fraud is rampant. That's because we all saw it. So, you know, it's, what's interesting is, apparently, if you're endorsed by Trump, you're an election denier. Here's the reality. If you were endorsed by Trump, it's probably because you align with his policies and you want his endorsement because of the weight that it carries. And if you align with his policies, you probably question the 2020 elections. I got so much more on this. I mean, I may just keep this topic going when we get back. All right, folks, 4:29 p.m. Going into the last half hour of the show, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, blanketing the northern part of the state. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Time now, 4:35 p.m. That would be go-home time for many of y'all. Some of you are already on the road, so be careful while you're out there. Beautiful weather. Massive storms came across the state last night, but right now it looks beautiful outside the window here at the studio. But let me just go ahead and say, if you're headed home right now, you might want to consider Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. And folks, I'm just saying, the menu there will knock your socks off. Maybe you're thinking, what am I doing for dinner? What are you doing for dinner? Well, Just Love Coffee Cafe, Phil, that's coffee, right? No, it's more than that. It's great food. It's great environment. It's great service. The menu, sandwiches, wraps, waffles, omelets. I mean, all day long. Anything on the menu, any time of day. Might want to call ahead, pick it up, take it with you. It's better than the average drive-thru, I can just tell you that. So, yeah, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. I love it when they say, Phil, we had some more of your folks call in or come in, and that's just kind of cool. All right, I'm back on topic. And by the way, I do have some texts I have to address because apparently we have opened Pandora's box with regards to the fact that I said that Charlene wins at the house. Well, she does. So just so you know, like when we were downrange, the guys on my team referred to her as a sergeant major because they knew that she was the only one who could say what I needed to hear. And so more than once, I remember... Sergeant Borden. He would look at me and go, sir, am I going to have to call the sergeant major? Like, come on, Borden. Anyway, but I got a couple of texts here. John from Decatur, he says, I wear the pants of my family, but my wife tells me which ones to wear. Bob from Arab, he says, Napoleon Bonaparte said it best, the general's wife is the general's general. Semper Fi. Yeah. Appreciate you, Bob. Thanks so much. All right, listen, let's move on to this topic here real quick. By the way, exclusive top headline now on FoxNews.com with regards to the January 6th subpoena for Donald Trump. He says he loves the idea of testifying. You know what? I hadn't thought about this. He says he loves the idea of testifying. Why would that be? Because he gets to confront them on an open microphone and they can't do anything about it. And he can sit there and make them look like fools for an hour. I hadn't thought about that. And you talk about, I mean, like George Wallace, when he was governor of Alabama, he used to, I'm just dialoguing with Boomer right now. When he was governor of Alabama, he used to say, doesn't matter what they say about you, as long as they spell your name right, it's good PR. Well, this could be a thing. He might do it.
He might do it. That
they may regret the day They thought, well, we'll show him. We'll send a subpoena. He made us walk in the door and go, how you like me now? Have at it, boys.
There'll be a movie made out of that.
Come on in, fellas. The water's fine.
Yes.
All right. Back on election integrity. All right. Listen, is it a priority? Certainly it's a priority. Are we allowed to question? By God, yes, we are allowed to question. And they don't want us to. Why would they not want us to? Why would they not want us to question election procedures? I'll tell you what, let me weed down in my stack here. I saw an article earlier in my, later in my stack. I'm going to grab it right now. U.S. News, as of today, on the Reuters wire, headline, Stop the Steal supporters train thousands of U.S. poll observers. They act like this is some kind of army of, you know, radicals. They're training poll workers, folks. That's what they're doing. Let me do this article for you real quick. U.S. News. Inside the El Paso County Clerk's Office in Colorado, where officials had gathered in July to recount votes in a Republican nominating contest for this year's midterm, dozens of angry election watchers pounded on the windows. You know why? Because they were locked out. They're not supposed to be. As the United States enters the final stretch to November's midterm election, Reuters documented multiple incidents of intimidation involving an expanding army of election observers. I have yet to hear about true cases of intimidation. Tell us more about this, please. Interviews of more than two dozen election officials, as well as representatives of groups driven by false theories of election fraud, and an examination of poll-watching training materials. Oh, no, not poll-watching training materials, revealed an intensifying grassroots effort to recruit activists. They're called poll watchers. We have them by law. There's poll watchers at every election cycle. All they're doing is saying, hey, folks, here's the law. Let me explain a little for it, a little more. Officials and experts worry that the campaign will deepen the distrust about America's election process. It's gonna heighten trust if we go and things work out and we have well-trained poll watchers there. If you won't let poll watchers there, wait and see how much we trust you. If you're going to lock them out again, wait and see how much we trust you. If you're going to bring in stacks of ballots after you've locked the door and people can't see what you're doing, wait and see how much we trust you. If you're going to deny a poll watcher the opportunity to point something out and say, excuse me, I don't believe that's the law, and you're going to lock them out of the room, see how much we trust you. It says in this article, I turned to page two, I actually wrote the word gasp on the side of my notes. In early October, it says, an election denying group, God, called Audit the Vote PA, held a Zoom meeting with almost 80 people, that was billed as a deep dive poll watcher training session. This is ludicrous. The Pennsylvania group says Democrat Joe Biden's 2020 win in the state was illegitimate. God forbid they should question. During the call, which Reuters attended, it was a Zoom meeting. Those things can be dicey, man. Getting that Zoom call and get all rowdy. During the call, which Reuters attended, participants compared notes. Oh, no. They didn't compare notes, did they? Compared notes on how to observe the testing of voting machines. How to observe? Really? And when a hand count of votes could be requested. You mean by law? And discuss the legality of taking photographs in polling locations. You mean they don't want photographs? Tony Shoup, Audit the Vote CEO, declined multiple requests for an interview with Reuters, but confirmed the group is, quote, focused on encouraging people to become poll watchers in the upcoming November midterm elections. Gasp! Say it ain't so. Don't let it be. Oh, the horror, the very idea that we would have poll watchers. Poll watchers, y'all. You know what a poll watcher is? Someone who has been trained in the laws of the state for elections, who literally stands off to the side. Every party is allowed to have poll watchers at every polling site. They don't always get them staffed out. They're usually volunteers, and they stand there quietly on the side. And if they see an irregularity, their right is to point it out. That's the law. And the very idea that Reuters is going to write a story like there's some great conspiracy. They were on a Zoom call. They were talking about how to observe and what the law says about when you can request a recount. God almighty. Let me jump down. Here's the other one that just bugged the stew out of me. CNBC. Well, there's your problem, Phil. You went to CNBC. What? Phil Williams, what were you thinking? Well, I was thinking I got to know what the other side says, too. Dateline yesterday. CNBC. Headline. Some corporate leaders are funding Trump-backed election deniers in races for Secretary of State, a role that administers elections. Pray tell, why would we want anybody there who questions election integrity? What could they be up to? How dare they run on a campaign platform that says, I'll do my job right? That's what they're doing. They're running on a platform that says, I'll do my job right. I'm the chief election officer for the state if I win. Therefore, I promise to you, I'll do my job right. God forbid. More than 24 corporate leaders, according to CNBC, and businesses are quietly donating to the campaigns of at least 4 Republicans who have pushed false claims about the 2020 election results while running to become secretaries of state. You mean people are donating to the elections of someone who says that if elected, they'll do their job right? Secretary of State candidates, they name them, Jim Marchant, running in Nevada, Mark Fincham in Arizona, Kristen Caramo in Michigan, Chuck Gray in Wyoming, all endorsed by Donald Trump, have disputed the 2020 election results on the campaign trail. Say it ain't so! Despite the fact that they've embraced false election conspiracies, the candidates have received donations from corporate leaders across a variety of industries. And then they go on, of course, to dox those industries. They name the wealthiest donors to each of those 4 election deniers. And they call them out as if they've done something wrong. It is quickly pointed out by someone who they tried to interview that, you know, it's possible they could be giving to Secretary of State candidates for future help with issues more directly tied to, I don't know, businesses, since Secretary of State's also handle things like business registration and licensing, uniform commercial code transactions, the registering of corporations in the state. Maybe they want to make sure that they're giving to someone who's going to do their job right. It's just amazing to me what they'll find to be controversial. Folks, the bottom line is this. Election integrity continues to be a priority. It does. You know why? Because there were a lot of things worth questioning. And you know what else we're allowed to question? And the very idea that they're going to excoriate people who say they are running for office because they want to see things done differently and they want to do their job right and they have concerns about things that 70-some-odd million people have concerns about. Well, I got news. They can lump it because we're coming into this election cycle and we are watching close. All right, folks, Phil Williams, we're going to take a break right now, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back and wrap up the day. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I forget, by the way, the folks at our Birmingham affiliates, which are part of Crawford Broadcasting Group, they've got, throughout the month of October, they've got a thing going right now, Honor Your Pastor, which is kind of cool. I mean, I've been in full-time ministry. That is a oftentimes thankless job that can go 24/7 sometimes. So here's the way it works. They're WXJC 101.1 FM. WXJCradio.com is their website. You can go to their website if you want to. And there's a place on there where it says Pastor Appreciation. Click on that and just nominate your favorite pastor. And like get a bunch of friends together from church and slam his or her name in there. Just get them in there. Get them in there. And they got a $100 gift card. They'll pick one a week for the month of October. They're already 2 weeks into it. But yeah, tell some folks from church to rally around your pastor and see if you can get him a thank you. That'd be kind of cool. Text line blew up today. Boomer, how many, we've got a ton of people that are texting now.
Yeah, we got We've got a lot of people. It's pretty cool how many are coming in and telling us their thoughts.
I mean, I can't even keep up sometimes. I'll be talking. I'll be on the talking, or I'll be doing part of the Dripple Dipper or whatever, and I'll look over and seven more texts came in while I was talking. It's like, good
yeah,
Lord.
it's awesome. I mean, I love hearing everybody's opinions, especially when they call in and text. I mean, it's awesome. I know some people don't necessarily want to, you know,
some
on
don't
the radio.
Want to talk, and then some just call during the break and don't even come on the air. They like
that's
was
right.
Was that Brian a minute ago just called to tell you he loved the bump music from the Scorpions?
He loved the bump music. He actually called a minute ago as well before that, and he was just saying, you know, about the wife situation and stuff like that. You know, he's in his small group and. He has his first high power is God, second right. high power is his wife.
I think that's accurate and wise at
Very
the same
wise.
Time. Yes.
Very wise.
It's a wise man. Hey, back on election integrity. We got a few minutes left. If you want to call in 833-687-4448 or text it, same number, 833-687-4448. I'd love to hear, is it an issue for you? And we had a great caller a while ago, and I can't remember who this was now, and I apologize for that. But we had a caller earlier that pointed out that it's not always about the elections right here in front of you. Like if you live in Alabama or Southern Tennessee in our listening area, if you live in those areas, then you vote in those areas. But what happens in Arizona also matters because on a national basis, these swing states, those are going to determine a lot of things that we care about. So we know for a fact we're going to elect Katie Britt to the U.S. Senate. It's a red state. She's polling so far ahead of Will Boyd, the Democrat, that there's no way in the world he's going to catch up. It's just not realistic. So don't think for a second, though, it doesn't matter what happens in Arizona. Well, I'm going to have a Republican senator. You want a majority. So I really appreciate our caller earlier who said, I send money to those other battleground states because I want them to win. That's a statesmanlike view. And then election integrity we've been talking about. Things like voter ID. Boomer, you before you moved back home, I know you grew up here, but you lived in the Nashville area for like, what, 18 years?
Yeah, about 18, 19 years, something like that.
Voted a few times in Tennessee? A
few times, I did.
So what was the deal up there? Had to show an ID?
I had to show my ID.
Well, you know what? As a matter of fact,
state ID.
That thing I read earlier said that Tennessee would rank the highest among all the states for election integrity laws.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I had to show my ID. They cross-checked it. I stood in, you know, it was a whole little ordeal, and then I had to answer all these little questions before I voted. So.
Do you remember, I mean, it's been a while, I know. Do you remember what it was like to have to register to vote up there? Not the actual voting itself, but the registration?
I mean, honestly, that was a while, but
you
I
slept
mean,
since then.
Yeah.
I don't know what I had for breakfast, but
right.
yeah.
Right. I mean, if anything, it was, you know, I had to get you go through the driver's license thing. Then I had to also register that way, show proof of, you know, everything. Proof of where I lived,
proof,
my license.
And proof
everything.
Of boomer.
Proof of boomer.
Proof of boomer.
Boomer's life. There we go.
All right. Well, and that's the way it should be. I don't know why some states would find that to be so galling.
Yeah. It's that's crazy to me that no ID.
And then on top of that, we got places like New York City that said they're going to allow non-citizens to vote. What the heck?
What?
If that's going to be the case, if they're going to say that they're going to allow non-citizens to vote, then I say we take a whole bunch of red-blooded, red-voting Alabamians up to New York City and vote that mayor out. What do you think?
Yeah. I like that idea.
Okay, good. Hey, we're going to get the right side bus caravan, and we're going to, by God, go vote for the mayor of New York City. Find us a good candidate. We're coming. Here comes like the cavalry riding in, man.
I mean, if not, you know, there's going to be people going up there.
You know what's
going to
happen though? If we ever did that, they would have a total freak out. That's not what we meant. That's what you said.
That's what you
said. That's
what
you said. And we're here to vote in your election.
Just come to help out.
That would be awesome. Somebody's pointing out here too, by the way, David from Huntsville just texted in and said the Wisconsin Senate election. Very close one. That's the one with Ron Johnson, I believe. One of our potential swing votes or swing elections that they have their debate tonight, which will probably be televised at least in part. I bet you can probably find it online streaming. And then you got the other. I think they've already now finally picked a date for the Pennsylvania debate between Dr. Oz and Fetterman, who Tucker Carlson calls Neckerman now. It's that's awful. I shouldn't do that. And then we do have apparently a debate coming between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. And I'm looking forward to all three of those and seeing what happens. That's gonna be some good stuff. All right, folks, here's the bottom line. Election integrity matters, and it should. Election integrity matters, and we should be allowed to question. And if we don't question, then we literally don't have freedom of speech, because questioning is nothing but freedom of speech, literally. And so the idea that we're not allowed to question or train poll workers or have somebody there to watch and request that the laws actually be followed is antithetical to who we are as a nation. So my opinion is election machinations, we should be demanding integrity at every step of the way. All right, what a great day. You got two dippers done. I got one that I'll bring back tomorrow because it is so good. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. Have a great day.